Himalaya.
Hi, everyone. This is Kel Weinhold from The Professor Is In. And just a quick note to invite you to come over and join us on the Himalaya app, and in particular in our premium area. And what that means is it's the place we get together and chat, talk about the podcast and other questions that you might have. There's additional content that you get. It also helps support the podcast. So if you'd like to join us in that conversation, you can head on over, download the Himalaya app, sign up, $4.99 a month. We've lowered the price because of the economic stressors of the pandemic, but there's always a lot to talk about. So come on and join us.
Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Karen Kelsky of The Professor Is In. And as always, I am very glad that you're here with us today.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I thought you were going to be finished. I am Kel Interrupter Weinhold, also from, this will surprise you, The Professor Is In. I'm very excited that you're here. A little quick reminder that you can find us in the digital world on the website, The Professor Is In, on Facebook at The Professor Is In, on Twitter at Professor Is In. If you have an interest in looking at Black Lives Matter material and occasional views of the wilderness, you can come over and hang out with me on Instagram at Kel Weinhold. And if you want to look at bunnies, you can go visit Karen on Instagram at Karen Kelsky. Mm-hmm. And I am also on Twitter at Kel Weinhold. Mm-hmm. So come by, say hi.
I'm trying to think what else I do on Instagram. I do bunnies and I do the occasional makeup.
Yeah. It's your little respite.
From, and my paint by numbers.
Right. Yep. It's the respite from all the other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, so I just finished giving a brand new webinar that I just wrote this week, called Knowing Your Value in the Academy, Self-Advocacy, Time Management, and Saying No. And I, you know, like all new products and new webinars, I'm anxious about how it's going to go. Is it going to make sense when I actually deliver it? And this one was really, if I do say so myself, it was really good.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
And it's
the audience seemed really happy based on the comments and questions.
So for that reason, and because for the last several weeks, I've been having conversations with academics around productivity and how they're managing this current experience, we decided to take a pause from the review of the book, which we'll get back to next episode. Next episode, we'll be talking about the attributes of a competitive tenure track candidate.
Chapter six.
But this week, we just wanted to talk a little bit about knowing your worth and about how to navigate all of this, keeping your worth foregrounded.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I mean, when I decided to, when I conceptualized the webinar, I mean, it sounded a little weird to me, knowing your value in the academy, mm-hmm. except for all of the work that you and I do and all the conversations we're constantly having and the struggles that we know people are having right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, all of the mission work that I do in terms of negotiating assistance and mm-hmm. helping people negotiate their job offers, that I know, and you know, how deeply disempowering the academy is. Mm-hmm. Really, really disempowering. And that it takes away your sense of autonomy because it's a system so completely organized around external validation mm-hmm. at every turn. Mm-hmm. And so people end up feeling so helpless in a way. And so I really wanted to talk about all the different ways that the individual can pull back some autonomy in the face of this really oftentimes exploitative, judgmental, and sometimes abusive structure.
You know, this ties really closely to a conversation I was having with a group, one of the writing groups today about how the focus, sort of the, your training and focus in the academy is on what haven't I done, not mm-hmm. what have I done. Mm-hmm. So you're not, you don't spend the day with people saying, look at what you've done. Look at what you've accomplished. Mm-hmm. Look at, congrats on that paper. Congrats on that book. It's what haven't you done? Mm-hmm. And the number of people who, and one of the people who was on the call is a tenured professor who served on the tenure and promotion committee for a number of years and was assuring the junior people on the call that everybody's struggling. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to figure out how to do it. Everybody's getting beaten up in the process. And then we went on to have a conversation about what would it take for that to change? And mm-hmm. could we, you know, can the one of the things coming out of this pandemic be a radical reimagining of the university? And I think that part of that radical reimagining, or maybe the very first step in that radical reimagining, is actually, like you said, reclaiming this sense of I'm enough, or yeah. or I do enough, or right. What I do is valuable. Mm-hmm. And we were complicating it on the call about how what's considered valuable is so very, very tiny. Mm-hmm. And so very, very reinforcing the sort of white notion of the university, mm-hmm. In the sense that this is the only thing that's deemed productive, mm-hmm. and all your other community work or
mentoring
or any kind of work isn't in there. So I just want to start with that it has to start at home. I mean, mm-hmm. it literally has to start in your own body.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I ended up writing quite a bit of content for this webinar on shame mm-hmm. and yeah. shaming. And, you know, that's not my comfort space. So I've clearly traveled quite far from where the professors
out with me
began and went and this book that we have in front of us that we're not talking about this week. But it really is, this is an emotional state. Of, and so I, you know, I looked up the Merriam-Webster, you know, definition of shame and the idea, shame being that there are these social norms mm-hmm. and that you don't know them or that you have failed them and that there's something wrong with you, you alone, and that everybody else is looking at you and, that you aren't good enough. And boy, if I ever, you know, thought of a definition of the experience of being an academic,
well, this is
pretty much it.
This is so weird. We must be on some kind of wavelength, because one of the other groups that I was talking to today, we were talking about shame. We were talking about Brené Brown and how mm-hmm. transformative she's been for a number of people in her early research on shame, mm-hmm. especially as, and what I said to that group is that, and Brené, if somebody sends this on to you, the invitation is still open. I've written to you. I've messaged you. I've done whatever.
I always think of that scene in that movie, and I can't remember, but it's the women's group who are in the restaurant, and Brené Brown is there, and they come rushing over to her. It's a comedy of women with a group of women, and they come rushing over to her and fawn all over her, and then she's like, boundaries?
Yeah.
We have boundaries. Yeah.
So
she played herself.
Yeah, she did. I don't know. I remember. Brené, if you're listening, I have always thought that it would just be phenomenal to be in a conversation with her in her research around shame
about the academy,
yeah. because she's a PhD, uh-huh. because she's a tenured professor, because she understands how that system mm-hmm. works, and she has so much knowledge about how shame works. Mm-hmm. Which is a slight digression. It's not really a digression. If you think about your worth, has a lot to do with how you feel pushed in or out of a group. And right. shame is really about pushing you in or out of a group.
Right.
Pushing you out of a group if you don't match up.
Right. And so as I was listening to myself go slide after slide and content after content about shame, I was like, wow, I hope people... knew what they were getting into when they signed up for this, because this is a bit of a departure from Karen's usual do this, not that. Right. But anyway, it was, But it all just fits together so well that there's this, you know, well, I, and also the point I was trying to make is that it isn't just the experience of shame. It's also the intransitive verb of shaming. I'm going mm-hmm. to shame you mm-hmm. For having failed mm-hmm. to do what I think you were supposed to. And that I can count so many times that I was shamed throughout my career from grad school on. Do you have examples of that? You and I haven't really talked about that, I don't think.
Oh, you know, my example is always the what you haven't done. Again, mm-hmm. what you haven't done, mm-hmm. what you haven't read, what you haven't, what you failed to incorporate, what you failed to understand. You know, those moments either in writing a paper or speaking at a conference or, you know, standing in a social hour. And having someone say, oh, well, you know, that's directly tied to blah, blah, blah. Have you read that? So mm-hmm. that's that to
oh,
me.
Oh, you haven't read that?
Oh, you haven't read that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my favorite line. Mm-hmm. So I think of it, those, for me, that pops up as the
right.
as the moments.
Yes.
And then career choices.
Mm-hmm.
There's yeah. a lot of shame about career choices. Mm-hmm. I mean, people saying, you're doing what?
Mm-hmm.
You're going where?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Anyway, I made the point that if you don't deal with this, if you don't deal with your own shame, and I had these little homework moments, like here's some homework, and here's your homework is how have you been shamed and how have you shamed others mm-hmm. without any judgment about right. it, because if you're in this system, you're swimming in it. And that means that you're getting shamed and you're shaming others. And so just own it and recognize it. And then if you don't do this work, you will manifest. You'll be an agent of the toxicity. Absolutely. Well, you will pass it on.
And to get back to our original point, if you don't do this work, you will not value yourself in relation to the things that are being asked of you.
Mm-hmm.
Your decision making will not be driven by what your mm-hmm. worth and what your time is worth and
right,
what those
right.
things. It'll be driven by
right.
how do I stay in the group?
Right.
How do I not get shamed?
Right.
How do I do those things? And
yeah.
and so you start making fear-based decisions yeah. rather than, no, I'm not going to do that because that doesn't match my time.
And very good point. I wish I had a pen and paper and I would make a note because your decisions. Now, see, I just forgot what you said. What did you say?
If you don't deal with that shame stuff, you will make your decision that it's going to come back and haunt you in terms of how you value yourself. And
yeah.
your decisions will be based on your shame response
right.
rather than on your value.
On your value, which reflects your real motives and priorities.
Right.
Yours, as opposed to the systems.
So I'm doing a beta test right now of a thing that we're doing called The Art of Leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So I have about 15 yeah. or 16 different scholars.
I'm so curious about that. I'd love to read what they're telling you.
It's really interesting. And the weekly conversations are very interesting. And we were talking about how difficult it is to leave and what you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And part of why it's so hard to leave is that of that sort of in-group and out-group and the cult-like quality. But I said to one of the groups, there's three different groups meeting, and I said, you know, your value hasn't changed from the minute you were born. You were valuable then, you were valuable now, and your job does not change your value.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody on the call kind of looked like, what?
I'm sorry, you just started speaking Chinese. Could you please?
What is this? And you could see this like range of things from just like, to, I don't know if that's actually true.
I'm sure that is not true.
to you again with your thing, your sort of self-worth, you're not your job thing. What's wrong with you? So I was going into this conversation about engaging in the entire project with your own sense of worth,
mm-hmm.
that if I just said that to you out there in podcast listening land, your value has not changed. It didn't change before you got your PhD, before you entered got your PhD.
When you're in kindergarten.
Right. You're still as valuable today as you were the day you started your PhD. Mm-hmm. I think that's really hard to wrap your mind around because especially within capitalism, and in the academy, the more you accrue, the more valuable you mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make it clear that when we're talking about your value, I'm not talking about, you know, I have a PhD and I've been teaching for this many years and I've been teaching for that many years. I'm not, mm-hmm. That doesn't compel or interest me.
And that's an interesting thing that I wonder if by not really being super clear on that in the description of the webinar, if some people came in not being at all ready for the message I actually ended up giving.
Right.
Because I said valuing yourself in the academy might look like valuing your actual accomplishments, like how many books you wrote. And it was quite the opposite.
Right. Right. So I guess that's the first thing that I sort of want to destabilize people's thinking right away is that how are you assessing your value? Mm-hmm. And we do that so easily by doing it through through a capitalism lens mm-hmm. of like, well, I can't do that thing you're asking of me because that takes X amount of time and my time is worth this, in which I want to produce that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great way for people who overextend themselves to set a priority list and say, well, actually, my book is my priority. So mm-hmm. no, I can't do this book review.
Right.
And I think that's a great way to start to measure your priorities.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I had the line, you say no, so you can say yes.
Right. Right.
And you can't say yes to everything. If you do, I mean, a lot of people do, I think. And there's, you know, the massive failure and misery results. But if you say no to a number of things, that allows you to say yes to other things that reflect your actual values, your values in life.
Yeah, and I think the irony of that super yes, right? The people saying yes to everything all the time is that they're in sometimes doing it to prove their value.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want you to see that I'm valuable. Mm-hmm. I want you to see that I'm playing the game. I want you to see all those things and then end up, you know, not accomplishing things, not doing
letting
stuff,
people down.
And then their stock or value falls.
Right.
Because your value within the academy is definitely going to be along those, mm-hmm. those, what did you produce models.
Yeah.
But how do you stay in a balanced and healthy place pursuing those is really what I'm interested in.
Right.
As you well know.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so much to learn in terms of word choice. I mean, we're getting down to the micro level where you're composing an email to an individual where they have said, hey, when can you get me that manuscript? Or the committee needs to meet and I want us to meet tomorrow night. And tomorrow night is Friday night. And you have a choice of what to say.
Right.
And so really the scripts that I was giving were, I cannot meet on Friday night. I can meet on Monday morning. And not apologizing mm-hmm. and not making excuses mm-hmm. like, oh my God, any other Friday night would be fine, but I just can't this Friday night because I have an obligation and oh, I'm so sorry. And, you know, that's the thing that a lot of people do. No, you don't owe them that. And basically, you don't owe these people anything mm-hmm. to tell you the truth. You mm-hmm. don't owe them your apologies. You don't owe them your excuses. You don't owe them. They are not entitled to your goodwill or your labor or your time in a de facto sense.
Right, right.
But they act like they are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that if you move from that place of beginning to understand your own worth and how would you define it? So if this was your homework, Karen, with the webinar was asking people to do homework, and if you were going to do homework right now and jot down some notes of on what criteria do you base your value?
Oh God, that's so painful.
Right, but it's
how clean my house is. No, by the way, that's not me, as you know, because you're like looking at me in shock. Like clearly, you're now hallucinating.
And you must be feeling really bad about yourself. But one of the things that I have people do in The Art of Leaving is that I had them do a values list.
Uh-huh.
And to sit down and say, what are your values?
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, what are your values? Then you can go on to how are you living your values? Mm-hmm. And where does what the work you're doing match that? And where does it not? Mm-hmm. Because then I think you can do exactly what you're talking about of knowing your value and living your value within the academy is when you have a clear sense of what your values are and what your value is. Mm-hmm. And it's not what they say it is. It's what you say it mm-hmm. is.
You know, it's just so funny because back in the day when I was still, when I was an assistant professor and I was so into it, I was so gung-ho, everything. I mean, I was 100% committed to the academic project. None of this critique it was even anywhere. And I had a senior colleague who was that certain model of an associate professor lady who was stalled out at associate professor and didn't really ever get anything more or less written or published or anything, and who whose work was engaged with music and performance as the kind of anthropology that she did was related to that. And I just remember having such endless contempt for the way that she would just travel around and go to these, do these dancing things. She would dance and not publish. That's what she would do.
Because
she would dance and not publish. And she would teach beautifully, very, very popular teacher. And she had a ton of time for students. And the whole model, the whole thing, I was like, everything is wrong with this.
Right.
Everything.
Because you were carrying the banner of the party line.
I was. And now I look back and I'm happy to say we're friends. We're friends and we're good friends now. And that, you know, but that came really, could not have been possible. I don't think I could have made that journey if I hadn't traversed this exit from the academy and this scales falling from my eyes of what this like fixation on productivity is and means. And why are you laughing
at me? I was just thinking if you had it landed on your ass off that really high horse.
Another way of putting that, yeah.
Because I remember you on that high horse. So.
Mm-hmm. I was extremely important.
Yes. Yes. So I think that if we go back to that homework assignment, we go back to say, you know, how do you determine your value? Mm-hmm. How do you determine it? Notice how much of it. And I think if you did it sort of a side by side, like, what are my values? You know, and Brené Brown has a gigantic list. If you can't figure out what that means, she has this massive list of values. You know, I have some issues with it, but at least it's a starting place. Mm-hmm. If you took and tried, like, write down, these are my top five values. Mm-hmm. And then you went over and answer the question, you know, how do I evaluate my value in mm-hmm. the academy mm-hmm. and see if they, if mm-hmm. they even exist in the same universe. But then you can start to take that knowledge to begin to operate based on, you know, your value, like making choices mm-hmm. that are knowing your value,
right?
You're going to yeah. know your value,
and that are going to manifest the value. Right, so you make the choices that actually bring them forth into the world. I am shocked right now, not shocked, startled to discover that I created a webinar called Knowing Your Value in the Academy and never bothered to define value.
Yeah.
In the webinar.
Oh my goodness.
And
how
like, what
far you've come.
I know what a crappy academic I am. But because I can see from this conversation that we're having that I had a whole bunch of assumptions. And I also, it didn't occur to me, I mean, that we could make lists of values right. and that we could define our values or that we could use Brené Brown's list of values and that would be a wonderful part of the webinar. Unfortunately, the webinar was already over an hour, uh-huh. so I have too much in it, so I'm going to have to take some stuff out uh-huh. in order to put new stuff in. Mm-hmm. But it could be more than a webinar. It could be an intensive workshop. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be very valuable.
Maybe I'll just steal all the material and put it in The Art of Leaving because a lot of it has to do with figuring.
It does.
A lot of understanding about why you want to leave. Mm-hmm. Or why you want to stay. One of the things that I talk to the participants about all the time is you could get to the end of this 10-week course and stay. because you may have reshaped your relationship to the academy.
Oh, for sure.
You've started to see your value. You've started to set limits. You've started to say, I'm not going to get involved in this and that. And, oh, this is actually an okay job because I'm not expecting it to be my,
savior.
Emotional savior anymore.
Right. And conversely, that's so fascinating because what so many people say to me at the end of doing the full packet of academic job document editing, which is a very intensive and long process, is at the end of it, they will come back and say, this was an incredibly difficult and challenging process. And it was so gratifying. And now I feel able to leave.
Yeah.
Because I know that these materials could not be any better. I didn't leave anything on the field.
Right. Right.
And if I don't get
I left everything on the field.
I left everything. Sorry, I messed that up. I left everything on the field. If I was able to dig so deep, because the process of writing the academic job documents is a process of bringing forth the values that animate your research and your teaching.
Right.
So you dig deep, you bring those out, express them in a really concise way and effective way. And then if that isn't what gets you a job, I mean, so many people have said, I'm comfortable moving on.
Because I've done it. Mm-hmm. So I keep looping us back around because we are uniquely qualified and going in 800 different directions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're spokes off a center and sometimes they're just big giant leaps into other places. I couldn't figure out a metaphor there. Big giant leaps to another wheel? I don't know. Never mind. If you've worked
maybe
with me,
there the splatter being kicked up from the wheel as it.
All I can tell you is that everybody who ever works with me on my group coaching or individual coaching knows my ability to jump a metaphor in midstream. And if I could think
jump
of
a metaphor in midstream, for that matter.
Uh-huh. Oh my goodness.
Anyway.
So I want to bring it back to this idea that, because you went further than that, right? We're sort of sitting here.
We are.
In this initial soup.
We are. We're in the soup.
How do you define it? How do you do that?
Just because of how I am, I don't like to sit in soup. I like to leave people. I feel like I didn't give them their money's worth if they don't leave with some really tangible outcomes.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
So scripts of use this script and here's what a pushback's going to look like and here's how you can respond to a pushback and here's some, ideas for negotiating or asking for a raise, all of those things. Oh, and also, of course, it wouldn't be us if we didn't pause and say, I talked about how it's gendered and I talked about how it's so much about whiteness and how race and racism is, just permeates the value, mm-hmm. academic value, and the insider outsider and the shaming and who belongs and who doesn't and the battles that you have to fight when you're defined as not belonging.
Mm-hmm. I think, and I think that I'm really glad you brought that up because we can have our own sense of our own value and our own limits and what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And those are going to have different consequences depending on who sets the limits and mm-hmm. how they set them. So mm-hmm. there's not a one size fits all on this.
Go ahead.
Well, and with that said, I still think there's an incredible value. There's an incredible value is the right word in defining that for yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if you modulate it to deal with X, Y, or Z, that you know that you're doing it with your own agency is really important.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things I talked about too, I tried to return to over and over, was that there are consequences. So this is not a consequence-free zone.
Right.
Once you, no matter who you are, or where you're situated, if you start living according to your own values and you start saying no to various things, there will be pushback and some of it may be quite manageable and some of it may be devastating.
Right.
And then I talked a little bit about the sexual harassment crowdsource survey and the ways that encountering sexual harassment and in some cases trying to confront it and seeking redress, not getting it, the whole entire process, variations on that, that many, many people left the academy entirely. They could not stay in the academy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's those consequences.
Right, right.
Are there.
And I just want to, I guess the thing that I don't want this to narrow down to, because I know you talked about it much more than just saying no, mm-hmm. Is that I just want to pull the, you know, camera back out a little bit to remember that how many places understanding your value then starts to affect your whole operating procedure, mm-hmm. right? So yes, there's the, I'm going to say no to this because I'm going to say yes to this. No, I'm not going to add that extra work because I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. But it's also just on your personal choices. It's how much energy you put into a committee,
mm-hmm.
how much energy. And I'm not talking about slacking. I'm right. actually talking about an entire, like the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm saying showing up with your value.
Fully and present. Your,
right. In what matters to you.
Right.
And not how somebody else defines you and what
right?
your values
absolutely.
Are. Or showing up to the classroom in that way mm-hmm. and not, you know, rescuing the whole university mm-hmm. in a single class because it's all so right. fakakta that
right.
you feel like you have to go in and fix it. So really that coming from that place that you can do it with more integrity and more like, no, this is what I do. I don't do that. I'm not not here to rescue the university. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to rescue this student. I'm not here to, you know, prove that I'm X, Y, or Z. I'm here living this, showing you my value in this place. Mm-hmm. And I have it and I'm good right. at what I do.
Well, what's amazing too, and we've talked about this before, is that when you come from that place, then when you encounter conflicts or dilemmas or things that you do have to confront, you actually do it from a place of strength, which
right.
oddly enough, usually makes you more effective and B, more collegial.
Right.
Because you're not yelling and screaming, because yelling and screaming comes from fear and insecurity.
Right.
And confidence and a sense of yourself is really like, no, I can't do that. I actually mm-hmm. can't do that. No. I can do it next week. I can't do it this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this completely neutral, flat, relatively unemotive response that is tends to get way better outcomes.
Right, right. So you know, just to bring it all to some kind of closure or restate. I'm gonna do that classic restate. Tell them what you told them. Gonna tell them. Tell them what you told them. To just restate it. We both this week, for various reasons, had conversations that were very much focused on how to set boundaries, how to set limits, how to find your own value, how people struggle, all of that shame, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So we were both sort of operating in the same air this weekend,
mm-hmm.
this week, and really wanted to take time to say stop for a second mm-hmm. and begin to recognize and own your own value.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that COVID has put everything into such crisis is in its own way, in its own perverse way, a good time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a way, business as usual is impossible. And we don't get that all that often in life. And this is one of those moments. Business as usual is utterly disrupted. And I realize that for most people listening, it's actually circumstances, conditions are much worse. The workload is much greater. The mm-hmm. fear and anxiety is much greater. And no, those aren't conditions for great creative thinking. I totally know that. But it is an opportunity to break from your normative model of thinking. And so, and COVID really, because of the overwork, and the easiness of ease of operating from fear and panic, this is a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time
mm-hmm.
to pull up and say, wait a minute, let me just revisit some foundational values.
Right. And one of them is not, I'm going to do everything you ask me immediately when you ask me in service to saving the university.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put on my own mask first, and mm-hmm. then we'll go from there.
Yep.
All right. Well,
good luck, everybody.
Onward and upward.
Yep.